Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and more. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 16 years of broadcasting, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience and us tuning in online. We're glad that you all could be with us as well. As you guys know, I love a great conversation, and I know our next guest is going to give us just that. We're excited to welcome Daniel Steelman to our program. Daniel is the author of a new book I had a chance to read that I know you guys are going to really get a lot out of, both personally and professionally. It's called Good Talk, How to Design Conversations That Matter. Daniel is also the host of a very popular podcast as well called The Conversation Factory. We'll talk to him about that and what it's been like for him to show people the power of conversations, their role in them, and, of course, how they can be able to use them to really change the world. If you guys are just now finding out about Daniel's book, I'll let you know to get your own copy of it. But Daniel, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for making the time for me. It's nice to talk to another conversation enthusiast.
Well, look, this was a lot of fun. When this book was first pitched to me, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in already, before I even started reading it. I was like, you know, just the topic itself. I want to actually begin this conversation, Daniel, with something that you say in the book, and we'll talk about it. You wrote in the book, conversations can be hinge points, igniting new growth or ending a phase in our lives. No matter how difficult, any conversation can be an opportunity to connect, learn, and grow. Each and every conversation is an opportunity to change your life. So I want to talk about what has it been like for you to realize that for yourself, Daniel, and then to be able to share that with other people?
Wow. It's so interesting to have my words read back to me. I'm like learning this experience. And it's so interesting to see what words people hit on and value. And it sounds like you've had that experience too, right? Like
right.
We've all had those moments where somebody breaks up with you.
Yeah.
It hits you in the gut. And I've been fired from jobs more than one. I'm not proud to say it, but it's happened. And in that moment, when somebody initiates a difficult conversation with you, we're always faced with a choice, right? My friend Carl likes to say, may the bridges I burn light my way. And there's definitely, that is one way to live your life, to just say, all right, you want to break up with me? I want to break up with you. You want to fire me? Like, I never liked you here anyway. But when somebody comes to you and says, like, hey, this is not going to work out, there's an opportunity to pause for a minute and put on, as I did in a moment I'm thinking of, put on my active listening hat and say, hey, so it sounds like this isn't working. Like, tell me more about that, because I'd like to know why. I'd like to know why we're here now, and I'd like to know how we got here. I'd like to know how long you've known and haven't been telling me, right? I'd like to know when you first realized, or when you first decided not to tell me and you've been holding on to this. Because if I can get that information from them, then I can grow. But I can only get that if I'm able to, I don't want to say dig in, but dig into myself, like manage myself, and be curious about what the other person has to say. It is hard to hear that stuff, but certainly that's an amazing opportunity to learn and grow. And it's there for the taking.
It is. And Daniel, the thing I thought about when I was reading this book, and it reminded me of a few conversations I've had with some of my closest friends, and we'll get into more intimate conversations a little bit later, but I thought, really, when it comes to great conversations, it seems like a big part of this book boils down to truth. I mean, is that something that you knew going into this, that if conversations are going to really be effective, if they're going to really achieve the goal for either party, truth has to be a big part of that. Was that something known to you already, or was it something that evolved for you as you kind of went throughout this journey?
That is such an interesting perspective and question, like, because I was definitely raised by parents who were very spiritual, and my mother and father like to joke that they never disagreed about the existence of absolute truth, just who was currently in possession of it. That was always up for debate, which one of them has a line. I think for me, I learned this when I went to negotiation. I went to a negotiation training program at Harvard law school, and I had my professor on my podcast, Professor Bob Bordone, and it really blew up a lot of preconceptions I had. A lot of people come to this idea of negotiation as like it's a zero-sum game, right? Like, so if I win something, you lose something. And what they teach in the negotiation program is if you can really understand what the other person needs, there's an opportunity to create new value. They tell this story, I think I maybe told it in the book, about the story of the orange that two sisters were fighting over. And the mother heard these two sisters squabbling, and they're like, I'm just going to cut this orange in half. You just get one half, and you get the other half. Like, what are you arguing about? And both sisters were unhappy with this decision because one wanted to eat the orange for the pulp and the other wanted the zest to bake with. Like, it's one of these fictional stories, but it kind of shows that if you don't have the conversation about what you really want, if you don't get to the truth of the matter, if you don't actually share what you really want and find out what somebody else really wants, then we can't actually get it. Right. Yeah. So it is important to get to the truth. It is important to share your truth. It is also important to find out what somebody else's truth is and to be curious about that. And yeah, if the truth is there's no there, it's really good to know that. I had somebody else on my show who wrote an amazing book called Same Side Sales, Ian Altman. And it's a great book. And if you sell anything, and we all sell something, it's a conversation that definitely needs to be designed. Nobody likes being sold to, but everyone loves sharing amazing ideas and things that they love with people. And so we all have to get over that. And the truth is, we should find out if our product isn't good for that person as quickly as possible. We should find out what they really want and really need. And I learned this in high school. I know what your jobs were growing up. I worked in a shoe store in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And Stan, who is the owner and manager of the store, he said to us, he's like, if we don't have it, it's your job to know who else does. If we don't have it at the athlete's foot, it's okay to send them to Foot Locker. And some people would rather pretend that they have what somebody needs, right? I think you earn a lot more points if you find out and learn what somebody really needs and then send them where they need to go. 100%.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, isn't that – I think that's just generally good business rather than trying to pretend – you know, well, you know, blue's better. You know, it's like, well, if you don't have blue, just send them to Foot Locker. They have all the colors. We didn't. We were a small store. We had to get by in customer service, which is what it's all about.
Well, I think the reason why I wanted to ask you that question is because as I was reading the book again, I thought about, and again, I thought about myself, and I think our audience will do this as well, Daniel. We'll think about themselves, think about conversations that we have with ourselves. You address that in the book. I know I do it all the time. And then right. So I started looking around when I got to that, and I thought, that's interesting that he talks about that. But then I love the fact that you talk about inviting other people in. And that is where I think we see what's happening in the world today, because you talk about, Daniel, and I think this is an important thing for our audience, that we can choose to invite people in, both personally and professionally, who would just agree with us, go along with whatever we say, or people who may have an opposite thought. And to me, it says a lot about us when it comes to that. I want to talk about that for you. I mean, how did you get to that, where you're able to say that in the book, that, hey, you know, we have a right to shift, and people shift sometimes according to what they want more so than what they need.
Yeah, and you see this a lot in politics, where people, and we don't have to name names, but I think a lot of times we'd rather not have things be true, and so we keep pretending they're not.
Yeah.
Truth at the end of the day means it's testable, it's provable, and we can battle about what's true, or we can try things out and find out. I think there's this sense that there's fear that your truth invalidates my truth, right? There's a quote from, I'm blanking on the name of the author, who F. Scott Fitzgerald, who wrote The Great Gatsby, which is an amazing summertime read if you're bored in captivity and you want a good old-time read about New York in the 20s. He said, it's the mark of a first-rate intelligence to be able to hold two ideas that are in opposition in mind at the same time. And I think that's, you know, we really don't believe that anymore. Like, the idea that somebody would even entertain and contemplate the logic inherent in someone else's point of view, right? Like, you know, let's talk about a really, let's talk about some hard issues. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about the death penalty, right? And if I can't even attempt to empathize with what the quote-unquote other side thinks, but I only want to be right, I certainly can't have a conversation with them.
Right.
You know, the flip side of that, of course, and I always do a terrible job of misquoting it. Actually, wait, I have it here. James Baldwin has a great quote about this. On the flip side, it says, we can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. So it's, I think it's pretty hard for a man of color to sit down with a white supremacist and have, you know, bunnies and flowers and rainbows. Like, there's, that's a tough conversation. I don't know if there's a there, right?
Yeah.
There's no midpoint. And there's no midpoint between I'm equal and no, you're not. that's a tough conversation.
Right. And that goes to something interesting you say in the book, Daniel. There's that. Well, I want to say for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm excited to welcome Daniel Steelman to our program. We're discussing Daniel's thought-provoking new book called Good Talk: How to Design Conversations That Matter. And I think that's a big emphasis in this conversation Daniel and I are having, conversations that actually matter, not just talking to hear yourself talk, but actually to get something out of it. And Daniel, to that point you were just making, there's a subheading in the book, System Change is a Conversation You Rewrite, Play the Game or Change the Rules. I want to read a little bit of this, and then we'll talk about it. You talk about, as a kid, about the TV jingle for the board game, The Game of Life, and how you could just play the game. But then you say this: convincing everyone else to move to a new rule book isn't like turning on a light switch. Other people might like the current rules of the game. And what if your rule change isn't effective or makes the game even worse? Hacking the rules of a board game can be complicated, but with the right analysis and knowledge of game theory, a single person could draft a new set of rules and convince 3 to 5 people to play test the new game. With their feedback, adjustments can be made. Maybe word can spread of a new, better way to play the game. I want to talk about that. I thought that was an interesting analogy you gave about, you know, a black person sitting down with a white supremacist, because, again, coming together to try to make something better is what you were discussing when it comes to the game. If people are not coming together to make something better, it's going to be a lot more difficult. What has that message been like for you to share? Because it's one thing to say it, but what has it been like for you to actually stand up and to share that with someone?
Well, I mean, it's easy for me. I mean, I'm a white man. I have plenty of privilege. So it's not hard to say it, because I believe it. It's really true. It's idealistic. Hearing you read those words, I'm like, God, I did write that. And I do believe that. It's really hard to convince people to try something new, right? Because a lot of, you know, if we're talking about organizational change or societal change, like, people who are benefiting from the current system have very, very little incentive to risk their position.
Yeah.
Right. I'll just say that again so I can actually hear myself say it. Like, people who are currently benefiting from the system are of low incentive to try something new. And so this is where we talk about this idea of invitation to a new game. I can't really tell anybody how to do activism better than they're already doing it. I think, there's plenty of criticisms, like, for example, the Black Lives Matter movement from both sides. Like, could they have brought police into the conversation sooner? Maybe. Like, I'm literally no expert, but this idea of coalition building, right? And how do you build a coalition? possibly be against the idea of Black Lives Matter? And yet there was this rebound, pendulum swinging, where it's like, well, no, all lives matter, blue lives matter, white lives matter. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. That was not the conversation that was trying to be started there. Like, how did that wind up being the conversation? That's weird, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we can try to empathize with this idea, well, no, all lives matter. You're like, yes, 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 of course. I hear what you're saying, but I'm saying this. We're not actually having a conversation. We're at cross purposes. And this is what's tough, is that there's truth. You look at the statistics. Maybe I just feel freer to say this because I know you're a person of color. It's like, you look at the statistics, you know, people of color have not been treated very well by America. But not everyone wants to look at those numbers because they don't want to believe that that's the country they live in. So that's hard, right? You know, nobody wants to say like, wait, but America's the homeland of the free and home of the brave. They're like, absolutely. And systemic oppression. So it's like, what do we want? What kind of world do we want to live in? I'd like to believe, and this is the game we usually play when we're talking about system change and innovation, is we can usually agree on an ideal future state. So it can be possible. Like, if you listen to, you know, Dr. King and this idea of like, one day I believe, I have a dream that this is going to be possible, that little black boys and little white girls and boys can play together and that'll be cool. And no, I don't think, I mean, there were some people who heard that in the 60s and they were like, no, that's terrible. But most people heard that and said, well, of course they should be able to play together. It's really hard to come down against that. And so then you just work back. It's logic. You're like, well, if that's true, what else should be true? I'm like, well, if that's true, then I guess they should be able to go to school together. If that's true, I guess it should be okay for them to own houses in the same neighborhood. Like, and so you just work back. It's a logical approach. I hope it's a logical approach. And I think that's one of the problems with my approach, to be honest, Cyrus. Like, I think when I decompose conversations into pieces that I think we can do something about, when I ask people in my workshops, what are conversations made out of? People will say emotions and words and vibes and tone. And I tell them, what parts can you actually control? I don't know about you, but I can't make myself not angry when I'm angry. And it's very hard to make someone else not angry when they're angry. Calm down never works. Like, hey, calm down. That's not an invitation to calm down. That's like an order, and nobody ever accepts an order. And so it's like, how can you actually shift the conversation? To me, invitation, a loving approach, is the only way to say, like, well, what do you want out of this? Well, are you interested in hearing what I want out of this? Cool. So this is what I want out of this. Like, okay, great. So, like, what's possible? Like, it's on one level, it's naive and hard. It's not easy at all. But it's like, if you want to be in the game, you've got to keep working to change it, right? And eventually you can build a coalition of people who are into what you're into. And that's the coalition of the willing. And so that's, you move forward with the people you've got. That was a very long-winded answer. I hope some of that made sense.
Well, I mean, you know, I, this is what I got from what you said, Daniel, and it ties into something when you said you actually used a question directly from the book. You asked the question, what do you want? And you asked that question in the book. And as you were talking, I thought about that, and I had already bookmarked that section. And you and I had not even discussed this beforehand. But I love the fact that as you were talking, I thought about what you wrote in that question. You wrote, finding the courage to ask for what you want is a three-part secret formula. One-third is being open to things going well. Very rarely do our conversations turn into total disasters. Who knows? Things could go perfectly. It's more likely they will work out just fine. And I thought about that because of what you were saying in the example you gave about bringing people together, because, you know, how can you then have a solution if you don't have all the components there to be able to have something to work for and to ask that very important question of what do you want? So I guess I'll turn the question around on you in this way then, Daniel. What do you want when it comes to people reading this book? And at the end of it, by the time they get to that part, what do you want them to be able to realize about their role in this when it comes to being better at conversations?
Yeah, that's a great question. What immediately rises up is in the title or the subtitle of the book is this idea of design. And I trained as an industrial designer. And for people who are unfamiliar with the idea, if you just look around whatever room you're in, pretty much everything has been designed. I'm looking at a Remington flat iron that my fiance uses, and a water bottle and some headphones and a little massage ball. All of these things were designed. Literally everything in our world has been designed. We take materials and we mold them and shape them into something we want. Design is a fundamental human act. We are intentional creatures. We don't live by accident. And design sometimes is put up this, like, you know, the Steve Jobs and Johnny Ive, like, and an iPhone, like, that's design. And I'm not a designer. I'm not creative. But everybody's creating their life, right? We are all creating our lives. I interviewed this lovely woman, Aisha Bursell, who wrote a book called Design the Life You Love. I just had her on my show. She's an amazing woman. She's like, our lives are our biggest project, and we do design them, right? Design just means making things better on purpose rather than by accident. Nobody gets to make things worse on purpose, or occasionally we can get away with things getting better by accident, but generally we get credit and get paid and thrive by doing good and doing well on purpose. And that's really, for me, the fundamental message is I want people to be mindful and intentional with this thing that is really precious and super important: conversations. We don't really remember learning how to talk, right? It's just something we've kind of always done. No one realizes mostly the habits, the conversational communication habits and patterns that we're living out. And I was raised with this Socratic idea of the unexamined life is not worth living. And so really what I want people to do is look at the way they're currently designing their conversations and their communications. Think about ways in which they'd like them to go, and then to look at the different components of the OS canvas and start to see them. Like, I see conversations and shape them in the same way that I think about how I used to shape forms and interfaces and workshops, which are all the things that I design conversations, and I own that. And in a way, I'd love to live in a world where everyone says, like, yeah, I can design them. I can make them better on purpose. And it's not going to go the way I want it to every time, but I at least can go in with a clear shape in my mind, and I can make it happen. That I can steer the ship of my own life. Like, I think we should all have that.
Yeah, and I think, too, if I could just add to that, Daniel, I think realizing that your voice matters. And I think that is the other thing, too, not let other people make you feel as though you should not have a voice that needs to be heard in the room. And I think that is the mistake, unfortunately, so many have. They either give up their voice to others who seem louder, or they're made to feel as though their voice does not matter. And I think that there's danger on both sides. And so for us to be able to do exactly what you say in the end of the book, just start the conversation. And I think that's the thing. We never know where that's going to lead. Again, everyone, Daniel Steelman has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Daniel. The book, again, is Good Talk: How to Design Conversations That Matter. I got the Kindle edition. You guys can head over to Amazon.com and get it for yourself there as well. As I mentioned, Daniel is also the host of his own podcast called The Conversation Factory. You referenced it here, Daniel. So let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you?
I'm pretty easy to find on the internet. If you just go to theconversationfactory.com, you can actually download a couple of free chapters of the book. That's theconversationfactory.com/goodtalk is where you can get the chapters and listen to an episode. And that's it. That's also, I just want to say the Alice Walker quote is on the tip of my tongue. The most common way people give up their powers by thinking they don't have any. I'm so glad you brought up that idea. We all have the power in our hands. So we just have to start using it.
True.
Thanks for all your questions,
Daniel.
It's such a pleasure.
Well, look, thank you. I mean, look, you've made it easy for me, and I always appreciate that. And then, of course, the book made it easy for us both, because it lays it out so easy for us to be able to read.
Thank you so much for saying
that. But, Daniel,
hey,
more than welcome, and I look forward to having you back on the program again, Daniel.
Thank you so much. Likewise, I'd love to have you on mine.
All right. We'll definitely make it happen. It would be an honor for me. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Go out and be amazing.